eKatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of eKatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
You know, think about the camera for a second. We use it all the time, right, on our phones. It feels so simple, so objective, like it just records what's there. But what if its whole history, like right from the very beginning, was actually deeply political? What if its role was never just passive?
Well, that's exactly the challenge, isn't it? And that's what Steve Edwards gets into in his really quite radical history of photography.
Yeah.
And our goal today, our mission, is to go way beyond just talking about aesthetics or, you know, the technology of lenses.
Yeah, forget the f-stops for a minute.
Exactly. Sure. We're doing a deep dive here to understand the camera's, well, its profound social, political, and economic function. The big question, maybe the uncomfortable one, is the camera really neutral? Or was it always, right from day one, a machine designed to organize, classify, and, yeah, maybe even control the world? And that feels incredibly relevant now, doesn't it? I mean, we're just saturated with images. Facial recognition, police body cams, think about social media feeds, AI-generated stuff.
Everywhere.
So if you really want to be visually literate today, critically literate, understanding where this power comes from, this illusion of objectivity, it seems essential, like for every image you look at.
Absolutely. And to get this argument, we really need to understand the person making it, Steve Edwards. He's a very well-respected academic and art historian, professor at Birkbeck and the Open University.
Okay.
And the key thing is his work comes out of social art history, critical theory, using a materialist sort of Marxist analysis.
Okay, materialist Marxist analysis. That can sound a bit heavy, maybe academic. Can we unpack that? Like, what does it mean practically when he looks at a photo that way?
Yeah, good question. It means he deliberately steps away from the traditional art history approach. You know, the focus on great masters, genius, judging aesthetic quality, the kind of stuff you might get in a museum tour.
Right, the connoisseurship angle.
Exactly. Instead, Edwards looks at the conditions that produced the image. He's asking, who paid for this camera? Who was supposed to see this picture? And crucially, who benefited, like economically or politically, from this specific image being made and circulated?
Ah, okay. So he's connecting the photo itself directly back to the economic and social structures around it.
Precisely. He's analyzing what photographs actually do in the world, how they function, less as pure self-expression, more as tools of commerce or classification or power, not just, you know, capturing beauty.
Okay. So less about the art, more about the instrument, its role.
That nails it. And it leads right into his main point. Photography, he argues, is and always has been a social practice. It's completely shaped by the economic forces, the ideologies of its time, especially the rise of industrial capitalism.
So he's really reframing the whole history. It's not just about technology getting better and better.
Not at all. He actually makes this really compelling case that the camera's invention back in the 1830s wasn't just some random lucky break. It was almost inevitable, historically necessary.
The perfect machine for the machine age, you said in the notes.
Exactly. Think about what that era needed. Industrial efficiency, science becoming rationalized, global trade, standard measurements for everything.
Okay, standardization.
Right. Edwards argues the camera met the social need for classification, for producing images that were standardized, reproducible. A photograph looks objective. It looks like proof. And that mirrors the logic of, well, the factory, the accounting ledger, the standardized marketplace.
Mm. Okay. But hold on. Couldn't you say that about other inventions from the Industrial Revolution, like the steam engine standardized production? What makes the camera so different in its social impact?
That's a great point. The difference, I think, as Edwards lays it out, is that the steam engine organized things, physical production. Mm. But the camera, it started organizing perception and, crucially, people. It allowed institutions, the state, police, scientists, to create this external standardized sort of shareable archive of reality, or what looked like reality.
Right.
And the book then explores this tension, you know, between the camera as this objective scientific tool and its other life as an expressive art form. But Edwards really digs into the darker side, its role in surveillance, in empire, in driving consumer culture.
That distinction, organizing people versus things, that feels key to the power dynamics.
Yeah.
Let's dive into that. How is it used for social control right away? You mentioned Chapter 3, Facts and Faces.
Absolutely. This idea that the camera gave you unmediated neutral evidence, well, institutions jumped on that immediately. The state, science, medicine, anyone needing proof or a way to classify people, it seemed objective, right? Cut through bias.
And the classic, maybe the most chilling example, is Alphonse Bertillon's system.
Hmm.
The police photography in Paris, the mugshot.
The mugshot, yeah, late 1880s. And it wasn't just about taking a picture, it was an act of classification. That was the goal.
How so? What made it systematic?
Bertillon's, well, his genius, or maybe the horror of it, was the standardization. He dictated exactly how it had to be done. The frontal view, the profile view, strict lighting, uniform background.
Right.
It turned the unique human face into this measurable, archivable bit of data, bureaucratic data, creating the first real database for tracking and controlling the so-called criminal class.
Wow, so it's like the ancestor of modern data profiles. We think about datification now, but Bertillon was already reducing the human body to these quantitative, repeatable forms you could file away, like factory inventory control, but for people.
Exactly like that. And this impulse, this need to classify, it was everywhere. Psychiatry used photos to document things like hysteria, reinforcing the doctor's power. Anthropology used it all over the colonies to catalog people based on, you know, preconceived racial types.
Giving that false scientific shine to prejudice.
Precisely. It always served to legitimize imperial views. The power dynamic was clear. The observer defines, measures, and ultimately controls the person being photographed.
Okay, so that's the state the institution's using it for control. But then pretty quickly, the camera gets out of the police station and into, well, everyone's hands, thanks to commerce, right? Chapter 5, in the vernacular, the Kodak moment.
Yeah, and this shift is really important. We go from institutional control of the, say, the criminal body to the commercial organization of the private middle class identity. George Eastman's slogan captured it perfectly. You press the button, we do the rest.
Made it easy.
Total easy. He automated all the messy chemical stuff. Suddenly, photography wasn't this complex craft. It was a mass consumer hobby.
And the family album becomes the main place where people start constructing their modern identity.
That's Edward's argument. The family album isn't just a neutral record of memories. It's more like a curated performance.
A performance? How so?
Well, it's a ritual, right? Recording a successful, happy life. You emphasize the milestones, birthdays, holidays, new car, new house, things that line up perfectly with the dominant social and commercial values of the time.
Ah, okay. So we're performing success for ourselves, and the album is the proof.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is driven by the company selling the cameras and the film.
You got it. It's commerce shaping memory making.
That idea of a curated performance. Didn't you think about photojournalism too? Even when the goal seems noble, Edward suggests the meaning is still manufactured. Like the Farm Security Administration project, the FSA, during the Great Depression, Lange, Evans, those iconic photos.
Yeah, incredibly powerful images of poverty. They look like undeniable, objective evidence of suffering, right? Stuff that demanded action.
Definitely.
But Edwards points out, hang on, these weren't neutral documents dropped from the sky. They were carefully selected, cropped, edited, captioned by government administrators.
To achieve a specific goal.
Exactly. Specifically to build public sympathy and rally support for Roosevelt's New Deal policies.
So the crucial point here is, the photo's meaning isn't just in the image. It's determined by the context, the caption, who's showing it to you, why they're showing it.
Yes. The whole system of deployment is what creates the truth of the photograph. It's never just the picture itself.
Okay, wow. So if we try to boil this down, what are the really core messages from Edwards that should change how we look at, well, basically every picture we see?
Okay, three big themes, I think. First, and this is foundational, photography is a product of capitalism. Its whole history is tied up with the market's need for efficiency, standardization, and, yeah, turning experiences into commodities.
And the modern reflection there is pretty obvious, isn't it?
Mm.
Thinking about Instagram, TikTok, we're not just sharing memories. We're participating in this huge commercial system that commodifies our lives, our attention. We're encouraged to perform this marketable, happy, normal-looking life.
It's the digital family album, but on steroids and monetized. Okay, theme two, the myth of photographic objectivity. Edwards just systematically takes us apart. He forces you to see that every photo is constructed. There's always selection, framing, stuff left out. And those choices aren't random. They're driven by ideology, by purpose.
So the shift in thinking is, stop asking, is this picture true?
Oh.
And start asking,
what reality is this picture trying to construct? And who benefits from that construction? Much sharper questions.
Yeah, definitely. And the third theme.
Photography as an instrument of power. This connects the historical, uses the mugshots, the colonial archives directly to today's digital tech. facial recognition, surveillance, the basic impulse to classify, rationalize, and control people. It hasn't gone away. If anything, digital tech has intensified it.
So the technology changes, but the underlying drive, the goal of using images for control, persists.
That's the argument. Mm-hmm. And Edwards has these lines that just crystallize these ideas. He really goes after the lone genius's invention story, saying something like, photography wasn't born from a single flash of scientific genius,
right. But
emerged from the specific social and economic demands of 19th century industrial capitalism for a new kind of rational, reproducible image.
That's the materialist critique right there. It wasn't magic. It was historical necessity driven by the system. He also nails the danger in how convincing photos seem, doesn't he?
He does, he says, effectively. The belief in the camera's inherent objectivity is its most powerful and deceptive illusion. Every photograph is a constructed representation, framed by ideology, purpose, and the power of the person behind the lens. The persuasive power of realism.
And then there's the one that links the big state stuff to our personal lives.
Yeah, the one that goes something like, from the police file and the colonial archive to the family album, photography has been a primary instrument for classifying, monitoring, and normalizing human beings according to the dominant ideals of a given society.
Wow. That really connects the dots. State control on one end,
mm-hmm.
and how we internalize those norms in our own lives on the other. Okay, so
how
do we actually use this? How does this thinking apply day to day?
Well, the biggest application is just developing practical skepticism, critical media literacy. When you see an image, news photo, political ad, historical picture, whatever, you have to ask those Edwards questions. Who framed this? What's outside the frame? Whose story is this reinforcing? Whose story is it ignoring or silencing?
And applying that analysis to our own social media. That's huge, too.
Hmm.
Seeing your own Instagram feed, not just as personal expression, but as, you know, participating in this commercial system, performing that successful identity that the platform wants, that generates profit. It's just the modern version of the Kodak family album logic.
Totally. And it also calls for, I think, historical empathy. When you look at old colonial photos, say, of indigenous people, you can't see them as neutral records anymore. You have to see them as artifacts that actively created and reinforced an ideology, making people look exotic or primitive for a Western audience, understanding the role those images played.
What really strikes me reading this is the continuity. You'd think digital tech would be a massive break from the past, right?
I might think so.
But the takeaway seems to be that this historical impulse, using images for criminology, for ethnography, for control, it hasn't vanished. It's just morphed and intensified with digital surveillance, AI, facial recognition. The goal is still classification and control.
That is the really sobering insight from Edwards' work, I think. The photographic image, whether chemical or digital, is never innocent. It's always caught up in these deep systems of power and commerce.
So the lasting lesson, the final thought for everyone listening, is to fundamentally shift the question you ask.
Exactly. Don't just ask, what is this a picture of? Instead, you need to ask, what is this picture doing in the world? What is its function? What is its goal?
A profound and, frankly, necessary question for navigating the visual world we live in now. This deep dive into Edwards' history really changes you from just being a passive viewer into someone who can critically analyze visual culture.
Absolutely. It's a vital work for developing a truly critical eye today.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.